You know, Bream has messed me up because Bream and the band did such a good job.
Yeah, they did.
Absolutely did a marvelous job. I thought I'll have a nice break, but there's no ice to break now. And I was thinking, how do I get into this message? And I thought of a nice break, which is a joke that I had. But the joke is really, really terrible. My daughter say, "Dad, that joke is terrible." She came home 2 weeks ago, and I told the joke to my wife and to my daughter, and she was laughing because of how terrible the joke was. And I thought I would tell that joke even as we get into the message this morning. Now I don't know whether I should.
Yes.
You think I should?
Yes.
All in favor, say aye. I don't think we'll bother with the nays. The eyes have it. The eyes have it. Yeah. It's not rude. It's not rude. It's just terrible. Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know. I'm giving it a bit of a build up so that you can laugh, you know?
And then it will be really bad.
It really is. I think I had my wife groan. Oh no. It's this, did you hear of what the cow said to a chicken on a Monday morning?
No. What did the cow say to the chicken?
Oh, she said, oh no, not that joke. The cow said to the chicken, "Thank God it's a Monday morning." It's terrible, isn't it? I told you it's terrible. Absolutely terrible. Anyway, it's an honor, it's a privilege for me to share the word this morning. I was driving when Duncan sent me a message, and I had the phone on the little clipper on the dashboard there, and I saw Duncan. I said, "Okay, I better pull over and see what Duncan wants." And he says, "Are you okay to share this Sunday?" I said, "Of course, I'm privileged. I'm honored to be sharing this morning, especially after Tim came and did a marvelous job, and Andy Cooley, and last Sunday we had Duncan, you know, sharing on the realities of grace, and that's what we're gonna have." If Tim will be my clicker, we're going to read Galatians chapter 4, and we're gonna share on the realities of grace, what Paul was discussing with the Galatians regarding the law and grace. What has grace done? What are the realities grace has brought to our lives? And as we reflect on what Paul was talking or telling the Galatians, that applied not only to the Galatians church, it applies to us. So it is also for us to reflect on our own Christian walk, on where is it that we are going back to the law, and where is it that we should be leaning on the realities of the grace that God has given to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. So I'm just going to go ahead and read it. And I said there are two points to ponder, and not just to ponder, but also to experience. You know, the Christian walk is not just about pondering, it's about experiencing. It's about application. It's about receiving it and applying it to our own lives. And I'm so glad for this church, because in this church we judge nobody. We are on this walk together, right?
Amen.
We all need the grace of God.
Absolutely.
So we are not here to point fingers at anybody, because we are ourselves are needing grace. We are in need of grace, and we're in glass houses, and we sure don't throw stones against. Amen. Amen. Galatians chapter 4. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. And Tim said, "Switch on your Bible." So I'm going to borrow that. Switch on your Bibles. Duncan is not here, so we're going to mess him up, right? Absolutely. Absolutely. Think of it this way. I'm reading. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up, even though they actually own everything their father had. They have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father set. And That's the way it was with us before Christ came. We were like children. We were slaves to the basic spiritual principles of this world. But the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now, you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. Before you Gentiles knew God, you were slaves to so-called gods that do not even exist. So now that you know God, or should I say, now that God knows you, why do you want to go back again and become slaves once more to the weak and useless spiritual principles of this world? You are trying to earn favor with God by observing certain days or months or seasons or years. I fear for you. Perhaps all my hard work with you was for nothing. Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to live as I do in freedom from these things. For I have become like you Gentiles, free from those laws. You did not mistreat me when I first preached to you. Surely you remember that I was sick when I first brought you the good news. But even though my condition tempted you to reject me, you did not despise me or turn me away. No, you took me in and cared for me as though I were an angel from God, or even Christ Jesus himself. Where is that joyful and grateful spirit you felt then? I'm sure you would have taken out your own eyes and given them to me if it had been possible. Have I now become your enemy because I'm telling you the truth? Those false teachers are so eager to win your favor, but your intentions are not good. But their intentions are not good. They are trying to shut you off from me so that you will pay attention only to them. If someone is eager to do good things for you, that's all right. But let them do it all the time, not just when I'm with you. Oh, my dear children, I feel as if I'm going through labor pains for you again. And they will continue until Christ is fully formed or fully developed in your lives. I wish I were with you right now so I could change my tone, but at this distance, I don't know how else to help you. Tell me, you want to live under the law. Do you know what the law actually says? The scriptures say that Abraham had two sons, one from his slave wife and one from his free-born wife. The son of the slave wife was born in a human attempt to bring about the fulfillment of God's promise. But the son of the free-born wife was born as God's own fulfillment of his promise. These two women serve as an illustration of God's two covenants. The first woman, Hagar, represents Mount Sinai, where people received the law that enslaved them. And now, Jerusalem is like Mount Sinai in Arabia, because she and her children live in slavery to the law. But the other woman, Sarah, represents the heavenly Jerusalem. She is a free woman, and she is our mother. As Isaiah said, "Rejoice, O childless woman, you who have never given birth. Break into a joyful shout, you who have never been in labor, for the desolate woman now has more children than the woman who lives with her husband." Verse 28, "And you, dear brothers and sisters, are children of the promise just like Isaac. But you are now being persecuted by those who want you to keep the law, just as Ishmael, the child born by human effort, persecuted Isaac, the child born by the power of the Spirit. But what do the scriptures say about that? Get rid of the slave and her son, for the son of the slave woman will not share the inheritance with the free woman's son. So, dear brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but we are children of the free woman. And somebody said, it's a bit of a mouthful, but I believe it's good to have this mouthful of the Word of God. It's good to have to read the text in context so that we get the whole message. Sometimes we read our favorite scriptures and sometimes we get a pretext. I did go to school. And we have a school teacher here. And when you read the text in context, you're able to get what God really is saying without choosing a few bits and pieces. So you look at how Andy Cooley started with Galatians chapter 1, how Tim took on Galatians chapter 2, and how Duncan took on Galatians chapter 3. What Paul is talking about is the realities that we have received through grace. The revelations and then the realities that we have received through grace. That it is not by the observing of the rules and the laws that were given that has set us free. And in chapter 4, Paul actually takes it further. And I want to draw 2 points out of this whole chapter. He brings out 2 points that the grace of God has done in our lives that the law could not. He says, guys, don't you understand what the law was all about? The law was not to free us, the law was to enslave us. So the first point I want us to consider is that the grace of God, Galatians, you have come out from being slaves to being sons, and then from being sons to become heirs of God. And for every one of us who puts our faith in Christ, that is our reality. That we have been brought from being slaves and we have been brought into sonship and hence heirs of God. If you look at the first 7 verses that my friend Tim is going to put right up there. I should have brought that little thing. Ding, yeah. Click. He snuck one on me. I thought he came with his own. I have one at home, but he didn't tell me. Tim. Anyway. He did a good job. Now, look at the first 7 verses in bringing out this point that God has brought us from being slaves to becoming sons and then on to becoming heirs. Think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better than slaves until they grow up, even though they actually own everything their father had. They had to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father said. And this is my highlight there. And that's the way it was. Galatians, even we Jews, that's the way it was. We had the law, and the law actually brought us into being slaves. That was the way it was. The law came and it enslaved us. And not only did it enslave us, we had to wait for the fullness of time for God to send us Christ. Because when Christ came, now through Christ, we can stop being slaves and we can become sons. If any man is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. So Galatians, listen, all things have passed away and all things have become new. And in the Gospels, John writes and says that Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, he gave them the right to become sons of God. So we've been brought out of being slaves into sons, because the law came to enslave us. In fact, the law, there was no grace, there was no mercy in the law. It was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. If you are caught in adultery, the law was, you are stoned to death. There was absolutely no mercy. If you are caught stealing, if a thief be caught, he shall repay seven times, sevenfold. So there really was, it was an enslavement to be under the law. And that law served as Paul has this discussion with the Galatians. The law served to bring us to Christ. The law served as a guardian until Christ came. And when Christ came, Christ paid the price to buy us back, to redeem us. God gave us his son so that we can be bought back from being slaves to becoming sons. And when that happened, now it says right there that God sent his the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now, look at this. Now, you are no longer a slave. Galatians, understand this. The law enslaved you, but when grace came, you are no longer a slave. And I think that should be a liberating thing for every one of us who believes in Christ or trusts Christ as the Lord and Savior. That the doings of the law, the deeds of the law, shall no man be justified. It is evident. Because the just shall live by faith in Christ. And now in Christ, you are no longer a slave. And I love it when we sing that song here. I'm no longer a slave to fear. But he has put his spirit. The grace of God has brought the spirit of God to live in our hearts, to dwell in our hearts. He who has received Christ, you have the spirit of Christ, the spirit of his son. He has put the spirit of his son into our hearts. Galatians, understand that he has given us the spirit of his son, whereby we are no longer slaves but God's own children. That should comfort somebody today, that we are no longer fatherless. We have a father. That we are no longer bastards, but we have a father. We are no longer slaves, but we are God's own child. And since you are his child, watch this, God has made you an heir. I don't know about you, that kind of like, you know, makes me want to shout and dance, you know. I don't remember my grandfather, because I never saw him. He passed on before we were born. But if he had left me something, I would remember him. Is that the truth or is that the truth? If you remember your great grandfather, it must be because he left you something. But watch this. Click. It will come Galatians there, and then down there is we're gonna find out who is a slave. Because sometimes we gloss over words, and it's important for us to get the fullness of what God is saying to us, that we were slaves. So who is a slave? A slave is he who has no rights, no freedom, and no pay for work done. That is a slave. A slave has no rights. But thank God, John 1:12 says that he has given us the right to become the sons of God. Grace has brought us rights to become. And not only has he given us the right to become the children of God, because we are no longer slaves, now we have freedom. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Thank God that we are free. Amen. And Paul is telling the church in Galatia, you guys are free. You are no longer slaves. You are free. Hello. If you understand who a slave was, understand grace has brought you freedom. Not freedom to do the wrong thing, but freedom to love God with all of your heart, to follow God with all of your heart, to be free from the law. Because the law enslaved you. And the church here in, where are we at? Collindale. Who am I? What's my name? Yeah. And the church here in Collindale, in Trinity. Listen, the grace of God has set us free from laws and rules and regulations. Not to do the wrong thing, but to love God with all of our hearts. And to follow God with all of our hearts. And that's what we are, lovers of God. We come here. My wife looked at me and said, this is the first time I'm going to see you preaching in jeans. That was a good morning. And thank you. I said, there's a fast to everything. First time I'm preaching in jeans. Praise God. First time we visited Trinity, I came in a suit and a tie. I look so smart, but I look like the fish out of water. I was the only one in a suit and tie. I thought, dear Lord, I better go get my jeans. Freedom is, it's absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. That you can be free to love God, worship God, and you know, just be you. Just be you. And watch this. There is pay for work done. Paul had an understanding when he was talking to the church in Galatia. He had an understanding that slaves never received any pay. When those Jews were over, the Israelites were over in Egypt, 400 years, no pay. And that's what slaves are. They work for no pay. And when God gets you out, he gets you out with an inheritance. Absolutely. That's why they had to spoil Egypt. That's why they had to take on all the wealth of Egypt. Because 400 years back pay. Hello, I like it. gonna load you with gold. Even women were removing their earrings, loading up. The Jews get out with our wealth. Because now we are paying for what we should have been paying for all this time. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There is no labor you do in the Lord that is in vain. Paul had that revelation in 1 Corinthians 15:15. He says, there's no labor that you labor in the Lord that is in vain. God will reward you. And God will pay you. There will be times of distribution of rewards. And those who have labored in the Lord and used the right material will receive a reward. And that is an encouragement for every one of us to serve the Lord, knowing that we are laying up our rewards for when the time comes for payday. Anybody looking for now, if at all you're laboring, it's always a good day for payday, right? Yeah. If you had no work done, you got no pay. But if you had labored, if you did some work and you are due some rewards, you will receive your rewards. So it's always good to serve the Lord and serve the Lord knowing that the God whom we serve will reward us for our service in the kingdom. And the closing part of this chapter, Paul brings this to light that my friend Tim will click and we'll look at how he closes out. In making this point, he says, tell me, you that want to live under the law. You Galatians that you are letting other preachers deceive you into coming back under the law. Don't you actually understand what the law actually says? The scriptures say that Abraham had two sons, and Paul now has the audacity, listen, to compare the old covenant and the new covenant with Hagar and Sarah. I mean, preposterous when the Jews heard that. They thought, they were lacking words to describe how they felt. How can you compare the covenant that came through our forefathers, the traditions of our forefathers? How dare you compare that to Hagar. And Paul brings out a revelation and he says, the old covenant was human endeavor to try and help God out. You remember what happened, yeah? Sarah says to Abraham, this God is delayed too long, you know, 12 years, 13 years down the road. He's still not come through with that promise, yeah? Give him a hand. Go into my maidservant. Let's give God a hand. There is no human endeavor that can fulfill God's righteous demands. There is nothing that mankind can do. And I love it when Duncan says, there is nothing that we can do. And the song said it. There is nothing we can do to make God love us more. And there is nothing we can do to make God love us less. There is nothing we can do in our own selves to merit God's love, to merit God's mercy. We cannot go out and say we are trying to give God a hand by doing something so that we can get God's favor. Nothing. The grace of God is unmerited favor. We don't deserve it, yet we got it. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There is nothing you or I could do about that. God made up his mind he's going to love mankind anyway. Good, ugly, bad, stinking. He made up his mind. Why? Because that's his prerogative. He's God. Right? He chose to have grace upon us. So the old law, the old covenant was like Hagar trying to give God a hand. And he said, that brought bondage. And to date, Jerusalem, because it's a lot of laws and rules and regulations, he says, now Jerusalem is like Mount Sinai. It's where the observing of the law comes in. The law was given out of Mount Sinai. And Jerusalem today still is a bone of contention because that's where the rules and the laws and everything else goes out. Bring people into bondage. And the woman at the well in Samaria, she got a revelation because she said, you know, you guys go over to Jerusalem to worship, right? And Jesus said, yeah, but a time has come when true worshipers don't need to go to Jerusalem. True worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth. And by the way, you can worship him on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, on Saturdays. It's not just about days. It's not just about seasons. It's not just about allocation. The freedom that God has given to us through the grace that he has brought to us, it's like the birth that came from Sarah. It's Isaac's freeborn. And this freeborn is a fulfillment of God's promise. It's not because men endeavored. In fact, Sarah, this time she was past 8, right? Agreed? 90 some odd years, you're out of it. As far as childbearing is concerned, you know? You're supposed to be a grandmother by then, or a great-great-grandmother, right? So when God's promise comes and he releases his grace, Galatians understand this. What God has done for us is not because of us, it is in spite of us. Point number two. How are we doing so far? So who is an heir? We saw who a slave is. So who is an heir? An heir, this is from Wiki. Anybody heard about Wiki? Oh, so you have, eh? Okay. I just borrowed from Wiki who an heir is so that we can understand who we are. An heir is a person legally entitled to the property or rank of another on that person's death. Love it. We are Christians because Christ died. Now we inherit legally his title. That's why we are Christ-like. That's why we have his title. That's why we have his anointing. Why? Because an heir only inherits when the person who holds it dies. Thank God Jesus had to die so that we can become inheritors. Inheritors and inheritors of his ability, inheritors of what he began to do. He said, these things shall you do, and greater works than this shall you do. So he gave us legal rights. We are heirs to do exactly what Christ began to do. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God not a man. Galatians, understand. Church, understand. God has made you an heir. Isn't that beautiful? That is not up to somebody. Somebody who might not like you, or maybe, you know, doesn't like guys with no hair. You know, or he might like people that have white hair, brown hair. No, it has nothing to do with human decision. This is God who says God has made you. Not that he will. I love it when it's past tense. It is past tense. That means they're already a done deal. That means you're walking on planet Earth an heir. That means today you're an heir. If anyone is in Christ today, he's a new creation. Paul had a revelation. And because he's bringing that revelation to the church in Galatia, we too can become partakers of that revelation and the realities thereof, that God has made us heirs, not that he will make us heirs. Now, point number two, my friend Tim, thank you. Our freedom in Christ is really very challenging to articulate freedom, to explain what freedom is. Because unless you've been bound, you can't really know the joys of freedom. Unless you've been in a prison locked up against your own will, you really cannot know what it means to walk about and go where you want, when you want, how you want. Unless you've truly been hungry, and I'm not talking about, you know, feeling a bit peckish. No, I'm talking about hungry. Like you haven't eaten and it's not because you're fasting, just because there's no food. Not just one day, 2 days, 3 days. I remember growing up in the 60s, my mom would not let us touch the seed that was in the store. We would sleep hungry. I was maybe 7, 8 years old. And for a 7, 8 year old to sleep hungry, and does not understand why can't we eat. I'm sure I saw some potatoes in there. I'm sure I did. And mama would say, that's for seed. Say, mama, but I'm hungry now. And mama would say, if you eat it now, we'll have no harvest when harvest time comes. Unless you've been in that state where you didn't choose, but choices were made for you, you are not free. When you're told when to wake up, when to go for breakfast, we thank God for the prison ministry that this church is involved in, to visit the prisons and to minister to those who are incarcerated. When I remember the first time we went there, and this guy came over to me, and you could see, one, the terror that was in his eyes. He was fearful of the prison. A prison, a place where there is no freedom is not a comfortable place. He was terrified, and he was asking for prayer. That now that he's seen how bad it is to be in this place, he's not going to do it again. He's going to be a good man after he leaves the prison. And there are people who are very, very sincere, lovers of God. And thank God for Hastings and for the team that goes down to the prison ministry. And if you're told you'd wish to do that, to be part of that, you know, you can see Hastings about that. To see people who are hungry, first of all, for their spiritual freedom. They may be in a physical prison, but then they realize that there is freedom available to everyone. And for us, dear brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman. We are children of the free woman. And if you do that clicker one more time, my friend Tim, that is not the last born in the Jackson 5s.
Are you sure? One of their fans.
And don't be deceived by this bald, clean-shaven head. It does grow hair. Let me tell you a little bit about freedom. If you've not been found to be in a place where you don't want to, And if I told you never be in a place where you really want out, then freedom cannot be explained to you. You've got to experience it yourself. This in the 70s when I didn't want to do a close-up of my eyes because you would see how bound I was. I was an A student until I went to secondary school. Already a smoker, I think at age 12 or something like that, smoking cigarettes. And then my friend Patrick, we were supposed to be at one time, we were supposed to be doing preps in the evening, you know, preparing for tomorrow, studying, you know, being good boys. I looked around and Patrick's not in class. I wonder where Patrick is. I know exactly where Patrick is. So we used to sit in locations that would be conducive for, shall we say, a quick exit? unobstructively, like near the window so that you can just slip out of the window and nobody sees that you slipped out. So I did one of those quick exits. And I went and found where Patrick was. I knew exactly where he was because I knew he'd be up to no good somewhere. And I found him with two other boys, and they were sitting around a bonfire, and they were smoking something that I hadn't seen them smoke before. I mean, we do cigarettes, you know, with a filter and all that kind of thing, you know. But then they were smoking one that looked a bit funny because it was small at the beginning and then it was going out like a trumpet. I thought, I was maybe 13, 14 thereabout. I thought I'd never seen that one before. I said, what's that? I said, wanna try? So I did. First time I ever took weed. If you have never tried it, don't go there. Don't go there. I took one puff. I thought, oh, this doesn't have a kick like the other cigarette. It's like kind of like light. And I said, maybe I didn't pull it the right way. So I gave it a real good hard pull, right? Until it was crumbling, right? I want to show you where we come from because we're on a journey, right? We're all on a journey. I think by the time I had the third puff, I didn't know who I was. I looked at Patrick. Now, Patrick, my friend, he was a tall, lanky guy. I mean, very bony. I mean, his knees looked like, ooh. And I looked at him, and all of a sudden, he looked funny. And this is a guy we've been in school with now 2 years. Patrick, you really look funny. So I started going, just, you know. Before I knew it, I mean, I was barely laughing. I laughed so hard. I was laughing. I was looking at Patrick. And the guy. Woo! And then Patrick would look at me and we laughed so hard, we weed on ourselves. I looked down on my pants and, no, it wasn't that little weed that you do when you laugh very, very hard. No, I emptied the whole tank. How absolutely embarrassing. And that also, of course, kicked off another bout of laughter. From then on, I not only became one who would be a smoker of weed, and for those that don't know what weed is, marijuana, so that we all are clear about this. I became the main distributor in school. If you have never been bound, you never fully understand the terminology of freedom. That was because I'm going from an A student, I almost flunked secondary. I made it by the skin of my teeth. And my life was going downhill right quick until I went to India. India was another story. It graduated. And one day in 1986, in a little town called Agra, that's where the Taj Mahal is, I was as high and as drunk as a skunk. And one day I was lying on my bed. I was so drunk I didn't even know my name. I thought, Stanley, what are you doing on the highway to hell? I made a decision. I said, I'm going to get saved today. But I don't know how to get saved. Because I was a thoroughbred sinner. I wasn't a church person. You understand that? I don't know how you get people saved. But I knew that I needed free from this. So I went to the hostels, the university hostels, where Hastings and all were. And someone led me to Christ. Brilliant. How he led me to Christ? Remember, drunk as a skunk. My hair, it was longer than this now. All the way down to my shoulders. Skin tight jeans, stretch jeans, cowboy boots, big bloodshot eyes, cigarette at the corner of my mouth. I went there at the back there and said, I was looking for somebody who looks like he knows how to make me saved. I saw a guy that looked like you know what you can do. I went there, I grabbed him, I pulled him out of church. I said, I want to get saved now. Now, he looked at me. He was from Zambia. He looked at me. He started crying. I thought, this is how you get saved. So I started crying too. When he saw us crying, he thought it's conviction. So he cried louder. I said, well, that's what you're going to do. That's what you're going to do. Cry the louder he did. Cry the louder I did. We cried so much, we actually sat down on the floor of the corridor in the university hostels. We were weeping our hearts out. And then he finally led me in the Lord's Prayer. Now, I was expecting something, some sensation. Something. Freedom. Boom. You know, fireworks. Whatever. You know. Nothing happened. I thought, this guy doesn't know how to pray. I grabbed him. I dragged him back inside. I came all the way down to the altar. I knelt down and I let him do the explanations while I just continued weeping. And I gave my life to Christ. And I've been free since. You cannot explain freedom. But for everyone who is bound, they know they want out. Christ is the way out. Christ is the answer. Christ is the freedom. The grace of God. I was set free instantaneously. I was drunk. I became sober. 1986, I'll never forget that. But I couldn't quit cigarette smoking. I was still bound. Until I gave myself again fully to following Christ and never desired a stick of cigarette. Why am I saying this? Every one of us have a story. Every one of us has some areas that we desire freedom in. But it's up to us to choose the grace that will set us free. Because there is no condemnation in Christ for those who are called by His. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of life in Christ Jesus has set them free from the law of sin and death. There is freedom in Christ. I am free from the guilt of tomorrow. I am free from the fears of the past. I have traded my shackles for a glorious crown. I am free, praise the Lord, free at last. I am free from the fears of tomorrow. I am free from the guilt of the past. I have traded my shackles for a glorious crown. I am free. Praise the Lord. Free at last. As the band comes and as Jerry gets ready to come back in closing this service, we are a bit early. And the reason we are a bit early is so that we can give anyone who desires that freedom the time to be prayed for. Because over here, the leaders and the people who want to pray with you after the service, pray with you to experience the freedom that makes you want to weep because of how free you feel, how free you are. And we are not here to judge or condemn anybody. We are in need of grace ourselves. But that which we have received, we freely give. And if we can stand with you in prayer and pray the grace that Paul was sharing with the church at Galatia, that same grace is available to us today. Would you kindly stand, please, even as we pray and as I hand it back to Jerry. Father, we thank you for the grace, the realities of grace. We thank you because we are no longer under the law, but under grace. And through that grace, you would, every single one of us, experience the grace of God, the freedom that is in that grace, the liberties wherewith you have brought us through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm praying over this service today, the Lord, every single one of us will have had something that has ministered to them. Those that would desire even greater liberties in areas of their lives that they're struggling with. Lord, I pray that you give them the grace to say, yes, that's me. I need this. I need grace. I need prayer. It's not by power. It's not by might, but it is by your spirit. God, I thank you because you are here. You walk right in the midst of us, setting the captives free, giving freedom and liberty to those who would desire it. We bless you and we praise you in Jesus' name.